So we're going to continue with sonship, and I've been enjoying this series so much. It's been so good for me personally too. And you know, as Pastor Steve has been doing this series, I've just been reminded too of how important it is to have a revelation of the fact that we are true sons and daughters of God. You know, there are so many Christians, and some of them even have achieved a lot of success outwardly, and they've accomplished a lot of things, but yet they're still insecure, still living like an orphan, in a sense. And I believe many times it's because people don't understand that they're true sons and daughters of God, and they don't know where to derive their identity from. And this is so important. I believe the abundant life that Jesus provided for us starts with getting a revelation of the fact that we're true sons and daughters of God. So this morning, I would like to start with a scripture out of 1 John chapter 3, and it's verse 1. And out of the New King James Version, it says, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God." And another translation says, "See how very much our Father loves us, for He calls us His children, and that is what we are." We are truly children of God. God is our Father. And you know, it's so amazing that the whole idea of God being our Father was never something that man came up with. And in the Old Testament, I believe that God was referenced or talked about as a father, I think, less than 10 times. It was a very few times only where they talked about God, they talked about Him as a father. And when Jesus came, He was talking about God as a father all the time. And He made sure the point came across, He made sure His disciples understood that God wanted to be our Father. So that, I believe, is really God's idea. And He could, as God, He could have decided to relate to us in any way that He wanted to, only as Almighty God, because that is who He is, or only as our Master and Teacher and Lord, and that is who He is. But I believe nothing would have satisfied His heart more than being our Father, because of who He is. And He wanted to be our Daddy, and He wanted us to understand that we are true children of God because of what Jesus did for us and because we are in Him. And this morning, I want to entitle the message I'm going to share with you, Discovering and Remembering Who You Really Are. And for some of us, in our journey that we are in currently, with our walk with the Lord, sometimes we need to discover who we are in Christ. For others, it's to rediscover. And sometimes we just need to remember who we are. And what I mean by that is to walk and live in an awareness every day of the fact of who we are in Christ and who we really are. So if I were to ask some of you after the service today who you are, I'm sure you will be able to respond with confidence and tell me your name, tell me things about your life. If you're a lady, I might get a long answer with a lot of detail. And if I ask the men, I might just get your name out of you. It will be sweet and short. But you know what? You know exactly who you are, and there's actually a lot of security in knowing who we are, knowing things about our lives. When we're in trouble or we need someone to help us, we can call a relative or someone we know. But can you imagine how terrifying it would be if all of a sudden you have complete memory loss about who you are and about the people that you know, and you're just having a normal day, and all of a sudden you forget all of the things about you and who you really are completely. That will be terrifying. And you know, fortunately, it will require something very severe in order for that to happen. And you know, God forbid that we will ever forget who we are in the natural realm. But spiritually, Christians forget who they are all the time, many times. And that's why we have many Christians that live as orphans, that are struggling with insecurity and not living in the confidence and in the awareness that God wants us to have as true children of God. So that's why it's so important not only to discover, because many of us have discovered that we are children of God, we've heard it and preached, but we don't, it's not a reality in our lives every day yet. And God wants us to not only discover it, but also to remember every day that we are true children of God. So just like there's a lot of security in knowing who we are in the natural realm, I believe it's also a necessity that we know who we've become in the spirit realm and that we remember who we are in Christ. So in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, Paul says the following. He says, "Now may the God of peace make you holy in every way, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again." So Paul is saying here that we as humans have a spirit, a soul, and a body. We have a body, we have a soul, and that is our mind, will, our emotions, it includes our thoughts. But he's saying here we also have a spirit. And that is the first part of us that he mentions here. So I like to say you are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. But I believe the spirit part of you is the real you. That is the part of you that got born again when you received Jesus, that became brand new. And Paul talks about it in 2 Corinthians 5. And in verse 16 to 17, he starts off by saying, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. And I'm going to come back to this now in a moment. But you know, many times we read the Bible and we're very familiar with a lot of things, but we don't really think what it says. And right here, he's making a big, big statement. But then he goes on to say, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So this is saying when you receive Jesus, you become a brand new creation. All the old things have passed away, past tense, and all things have become new. So after I got born again, when I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior, you know, I realized and I sensed a change in me. My desires changed. Things that I wanted to do changed. So I realized that there was a change in me. But this verse is saying that old things have passed away. Everything has become new. And as I looked in the mirror, I realized my body didn't change. And my soul was in the process of changing. But it didn't change completely either, as this verse is stating. But I realized this is talking about our born-again spirit, the real us on the inside of us. And this is saying when you receive Jesus, you become brand new on the inside. That is a part of you that gets born again, that gets sealed with the Holy Spirit, and that gets placed into Christ. So when God created mankind, he told Adam and Eve, the day that you eat of a forbidden fruit, you will die. And he didn't mean they're going to die physically immediately. That took some time, even though it included that. But he was talking about spiritual death. See, God created them with a perfect spirit. And when they sinned, that spirit basically became dead. It didn't cease to exist, but it became a spirit without the presence of God in it. And every person is born with that nature, but that's why the Bible says we have to get born again. And when we get born again, that spirit becomes brand new again. And it's almost exactly like what Adam and Eve had in the beginning, and it becomes just like Jesus. And I'm saying all of that to say that is the real part of us, and that is the part of us that I believe we need to get our identity from. And in that same scripture, Paul started off in verse 16 by saying, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. So he's not saying, listen, we ignore everything that is fleshly or natural. And, you know, for us, many times when we hear the word flesh, we think of carnal things and sinful things. But that is not all that there is to flesh. And flesh is sometimes just referring to natural things or to our bodies or things in the natural realm. And he's saying there that we regard no one according to the flesh anymore. He said at one time we knew Jesus through who he was in his physical body, but now we know him through the Spirit and who we've become in the Spirit. And he's saying that should be the same with us. We shouldn't, and that regard doesn't mean we don't know anything about someone in the natural or even about ourselves, but he's saying we regard who we are in the Spirit even more than who we are in the flesh. And many times if you'd ask someone to describe them and to describe who they really are, they will tell you about a lot of things. They might describe whether they're wealthy or not, whether they're healthy or not, and they might tell you their gender or even their race. And you know, all of those things are a part of us. I'm not saying it's not, but all of that is flesh. And he's saying we should regard who we are in the Spirit even more than who we are in the natural realm, even more than who we are in the flesh. Because that is a part of us that's a new creation now and that got placed into Christ. So it's true that we need to know others spiritually and who they've become in the Spirit, but this is especially true of ourselves. Once we are in Christ, we become brand new people in our spirits, and we need to change our identities from the outside things and accomplishments to who we are in Christ. You know, God never intended for us to get our identity from what we do, but to get it from who we are. And when our identity is based on who we are, what we will do will be more effective and fruitful too. But true security and confidence comes from deriving your identity from who you are, because you are in Christ as a believer. And Paul talks about it in Philippians chapter 3 too. And in chapter 3, he starts off by describing some of the fleshly, natural things of himself. He's saying, or he's talking about his education and how he lived a very holy life according to the law and all of his accomplishments and stuff. And then he makes a big statement in verse 8, but you know, the Bible doesn't say that those things aren't important, and that's not what I'm communicating today either. You know, if God calls you to study something, do it with excellence and work hard. You know, there's a lot of things God wants us to do in this natural realm, and it is important. But Paul goes on to say in verse 8, he says, yes, everything else is worthless when compared. He's not saying it's worthless. He's saying it's worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. So he's saying, even though I've accomplished a lot of things and it seems very wonderful in the natural, to know Christ is so much better. And he goes on to say, to become one with him. Because when we get a revelation of who Jesus is and when we know him intimately, we discover who we are too. Because our spirits are in him after we get born again. So how do we get this revelation of who we really are in our spirits and who we've become in Christ? And I believe the answer is in Matthew chapter 16 from verse 13. And this is when Jesus asks his disciples a question. And from verse 13 it says, when Jesus came to Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples this question: what are the people saying about me, the Son of God? Who do they believe I am? So Jesus wanted to know what the people were saying of him and who they thought he was. And when the disciples answered, some are convinced you are John the Baptizer, others say you are Elijah reincarnated, or Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But you, who do you say that I am? Jesus asked. Simon Peter spoke up and said, you are the anointed one, the Son of the living God. So Jesus replied, you are favored and privileged, Simon, son of Jonah, for you didn't discover this on your own, but my Father in heaven has supernaturally revealed it to you. So, you know, all of you today that are here that are born again, you got born again because the Holy Spirit showed you, revealed to you that Jesus is the true Son of God and that he's your Lord and Savior. And, you know, it might have been through someone preaching it, but ultimately it was the Holy Spirit who revealed it to you. And the moment you received Jesus, you became brand new. But then we need to continue to walk in that revelation of who we are in him. Because this was a revelation of who Jesus was. But, you know, for us to discover and remember who we are in him, we need that revelation of him. Because we are in him now. So when we get a revelation of who Jesus is, that is a revelation of who we've become to in him, in our spirits, which is the real part of us. So based on what Jesus said here, no man can reveal Jesus to us, and no man can reveal who we are in Jesus. Parents can't do it, neither professors, psychologists, and not even a preacher can reveal to you who you've become in Christ. Only the Holy Spirit can. Preachers can point you to it. God can use a preacher to help you get the revelation, but it's ultimately the Holy Spirit who reveals it to you. So our new identity in Christ and who we are in the Spirit is revealed by revelation of Scripture and by revelation with Jesus. When we spend time with him and we meditate on the Word, it becomes a revelation to us. But it's also through the Scriptures, through the written Word. And this is so important because, like I said earlier, we are spirit, soul, and body. And I don't know if you're going to believe me when I say this, but I have never seen or looked at my body the way you are looking at me right now. Do you believe me? Now, I know exactly what I look like because I've seen a reflection of my body. I've seen a picture, and I've looked at myself in a mirror. But I've never looked at myself the way you are looking at me now. But I've learned to trust the reflection. And you know, the Bible calls itself, in the book of James, a spiritual mirror. So the Bible gives us that reflection of who we are in Christ. See, if I want to know what I look like, I can't just go by my feelings. I have to go to a mirror that truly reflects what I look like. And the Bible truly reflects who we are in the Spirit now and who we've become in Christ. You know, some days I don't feel very righteous, or I don't feel like loving people very much. But you know what? When you go to the Word and you believe it and it shows you who you are in Christ, and that is the real you, then you can operate from it. When you go to the reflection and it shows you. But that's why it's so important to spend time with God, to spend time in his Word. Praise God for Sunday services and church services. It's so important too. But we need that daily communion with God to not only discover who we've become in Christ, but also to see that reflection, and it will help us to remember it, to walk in an awareness every day of who we've become in Christ. Because remember, Paul said, we regard no one according to the flesh anymore. And I'm not saying we shouldn't know ourselves after the flesh. I'm not saying we shouldn't know anything about us in the natural realm, but I am saying we should know ourselves even more after the Spirit and who we've become in Christ now and who we are in the flesh. Because that is a part of us that is now a true son or daughter of God. It is in Christ, and because of that, we are his children. So our new identity in Christ is revealed by revelation of Scripture and relationship with Jesus, and it's also discovered in the Scriptures and recovered in Jesus, because he is the living Word. And when we spend time with him, I encourage you to ask him to reveal to you and to remind you of who you've become in him now. And you know, every time when the Bible talks about in Christ or in whom, it's talking about who we've become now in our spirits after we got born again. And it shows us that reflection of the true us of who we've become in him. And I believe God created mankind to be more focused on him and who we are in the spirit than who we are in the flesh. And again, I'm not saying we shouldn't know, but we should just ignore fleshly things or all natural things, but we should exalt who we are in the spirit even more. And that should be an even bigger reality to us because it's the real us. And I'm going to prove that to you from Scripture. So in Genesis chapter 2, verse 25, and this was after God created the heavens and the earth, and he created mankind already too, but it was before they sinned. And here it says, now the man and his wife were both naked, but they felt no shame. So Adam and Eve were naked even before they sinned. And some people say that they were covered with the glory of God, and after they sinned, that was removed. I think we can preach great sermons from that, but I don't really see it as a fact in the Word. But what I do see is they were just as naked before they sinned than after they sinned. But it's saying here, before they sinned, that they felt no shame, and they weren't even aware of it. And then after they sinned, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 3, the next chapter, in verse 7 it says, at that moment, after they ate of the fruit, their eyes were opened, and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. And another translation says they became aware of the fact that they were naked. And this just proves that God created us to be so spiritually minded too, focused on him and who we are in him, that that is a bigger reality to us than just who we are in the flesh. And that is, I believe, why we created Adam and Eve. And unfortunately, due to them sinning, they became more aware. Their physical senses started dominating them instead of their faith. And the Bible tells us we need to live by faith and not by sight. So I am not communicating to that we should all start, or we should stop wearing clothes and just walk around naked. And God forbid, that is not what I'm saying. And please don't come to church next week naked. Pastor Steve is never going to ask me to preach again, and I might even lose my job. So please, I want to make that clear. That's not what I'm saying. And we should wear clothes. But what I am saying is through what Jesus did for us, we got back what Adam and Eve lost. And that was to be so focused on him and who we've become in him, that that is an even bigger reality to us than we are in the flesh. And that is what I believe God wants. And that is the real us. And that is the part of us that is in him now that makes us a true son or daughter of God. And I want to give you just three in Christ realities. And when I talk about in Christ realities, I'm talking about the true us too and our spirits now being in him. And the Bible talks about many truths that we have through Jesus and in Christ realities. And you will discover that too as you spend time with God and in his word. But I'm just going to give you three and remind you of these three this morning. And the first one is we are exactly like Jesus in our born-again spirits. 1 John chapter 4 verse 17 says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, talking about Jesus, so are we when? In this world. It's not saying as Jesus is, so will we be when we go to heaven. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Since I gave my life to Jesus, I've become a much more godlier person, and I'm becoming more and more like him. But I'm not exactly like Jesus in my actions yet. And I don't think any of you are either. So we're becoming more like him as we renew our minds and spend time with him. But I don't think any of us can claim that we are exactly like Jesus in our physical actions. But this verse is saying we are exactly like him now in this world. But this is not talking about who we are in the flesh or our souls even. It's talking about who we are in our spirit, the real part of us, the part of us that got born again. and why this is such an important in Christ reality. And even as I was preparing this, when I came to this one, I felt that I need to even meditate more on this and make sure it becomes a bigger reality to me. Because when you know your spirit, the real you, is exactly like Jesus and filled with the Holy Spirit and sealed with the Holy Spirit is what the Bible says. How will it change your life? How will it change the way you pray? You will approach God with much more confidence. How will it change the way when you deal with circumstances or situations that might seem difficult? How will it change the way that you take authority or pray for other people when you need to? See, we need to know that the real us has become just like Jesus through getting born again and sealed with the Holy Spirit. And I believe this will be the greatest remedy for any kind of orphan mentality or insecurity when we know that the real us has become just like Jesus. How is that for a good self-esteem or a self-worth when you know that your born-again spirit, that sealed with the Holy Spirit, is just like him now? And then the next in Christ reality I want to give you is God loves us as much as he does Jesus. And many times we know this in our heads, but it's not a reality in our hearts yet. But Jesus prayed that the Father would love us in the same way that he loves him in John chapter 17. And Graham Cook, he said the following in regards to what God did for us through Jesus. And this is like God speaking to us. And he said, I put Christ into you, and then I put you into him so that I could love you in the same way as I love him. And that makes you the beloved at all times. So I've made many mistakes too since becoming a follower of Jesus. And what has really enabled and helped me to just get back on track quickly or to go to God, to run to him instead of running from him, is knowing who I am in the Spirit. See, because even after I make a bad choice or I do something stupid in the natural realm, it doesn't change who I am in Christ. Because that part of me is sealed with the Holy Spirit. And when God looks at me, the Bible says God is spirit. So when he looks at me, that is the first part of me that he sees. And that's why he can have fellowship with me unhindered through any mistake on my part. And that's why he can love me just like he does Jesus. Because I am in Christ now. And so are you if you're born again. And that is an in Christ reality that needs to be rooted in our hearts too. And that is the real us. And many times we discover these things or we hear them, but we don't walk in an awareness of it. And we tend to so quickly forget who we've become in Christ. And we shouldn't. We should walk. This should be a reality in our everyday lives. That I'm just like Jesus on the inside and I am in him. And therefore God loves me as much as he does him. And then the next in Christ reality I want to give you is we can do the same works as Jesus because we are in him and he's in us. John 14:12 says, Jesus speaking, he said, I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done. And even greater works because I am going to be with the Father. So we shouldn't just believe for miracles too, just to try and perform well or to get our identity from that again. But I believe the more that we realize that we are in him too, the more we will see a manifestation of the works of Jesus in and through our lives and even the greater works. You know, Jesus said we will do even greater works than him. And many of us are still trying to figure out how to do his works. But he's saying we can do even greater works than he did. And that is because we are in him. And the same Holy Spirit that was in Jesus, performing all those miracles, raising people from the dead, healing people, setting people free, is now in us. And the Bible says the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead now lives on the inside of us. So when we encounter people with need, or they have things that they need from God, we can help them because Jesus is on the inside of us through the Holy Spirit. And therefore, we can do the same works as he did. So, I'm going to come land now, but I want to ask, how many of you have seen the movie Lion King? Most of you. It's one of my favorite movies, and I've seen it many, many times. And I was just reminded of something as I was preparing for this too. And I don't know if you can remember the scene where Mufasa appears to Simba. So, Mufasa already died at the time, and Simba lost his way a little bit, and he started eating grass. He became a vegetarian, and I don't believe God ever intended for a lion to be a vegetarian, but he did. And then his dad, Mufasa, appears to him, and all he tells him is, remember who you are. He's saying, remember who you are. You are my son, and you're supposed to be the next king. And you know, I believe many times when we face things, sometimes we might even beg God to do things, and we can't understand why we're not experiencing change. I believe if we could hear our Father's voice, all he would say is, remember who you really are. And when he says it, he's not just talking about who you are in the flesh. He's talking about who you've become in Christ now. Because in Christ, you are more than a conqueror, the Bible says. And in Christ, we can rule and reign over circumstances, sickness, poverty, anything that comes against us. Those things shouldn't reign over us. But I believe many times our Father just wants us to remember who we are. And how are we going to remember who we are? Through the revelation we get from the Word of God, by looking into that spiritual reflection, that spiritual mirror every day that shows us who the true us are, that shows us the real us that is in Christ now, and that are more than conquerors. So I believe God just wants to remind all of us today too, is remember who you are, because you are in Christ, and in Christ you are more than a conqueror. Amen. And Father, I just thank you for everyone that is here right now, and I thank you for who we've become in Christ, the real us, Lord, who we've become in the Spirit. And Lord, I pray that this wonderful, glorious truth will just become a greater reality in our lives, that all the in Christ realities will not just be information for us, Lord, but that it will be rooted in our hearts. And help us, Lord, not only to discover or rediscover, but also to always remember who we really are, because we are in Christ, and therefore we are true sons and daughters of God. And just this morning, we want to thank you again, Lord Jesus, because all of this is just because of you and the wonderful work you did for us through the cross and through your resurrection. And we just thank you for it, Lord. Thank you that you're an amazing Lord and Savior. And thank you that this coming week, Lord, that the real us will be greater to us and will be a bigger reality than anything we are in the flesh. And thank you that you will help us with it, Lord. And we thank you for true freedom that will spring forth as we get this revelation and walk in an awareness that we are your children. We thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You are highly favored and deeply loved of God.